Our focus scripture this morning is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, the first chapter, verses 18 through 25. And this tells us an angel appears to Joseph. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. The word of God for the people of God.
A young man excitedly told his mother, "Ma, I've fallen in love, and I'm going to get married." Mom responded very cautiously, "Who is she?" And he says, "Mom, how about this, just for the fun of it? I'm going to bring over three women, and you try and guess which one I'm going to marry." The mom said, "Sure, I'm game for that." He said, "All right." So the next day, he brings three beautiful women over to the house, sits them down on the couch, all three of them together. They chat with his mom for a while. Then the son says, "Okay, Mom, guess which one I'm going to marry." Mom quickly replied, "The one on the end on my right." The son went, "Yeah, you're right. But how did you know?" And Mom replied, "Easy. I don't like her." I don't know about you and your relationships or your spouse and stuff. I know my mom was not thrilled with my choice who I was going to marry at the beginning. Loves her to death. After, before, and afterward. But not real thrilled with it. You know, we can be somewhat critical of our children's choices. Because let's face it, they're not our choices oftentimes. And this got me to thinking about, well, what about Joseph's mom? Would she have liked who Joseph was going to marry? Well, setting up a marriage was different in Joseph's time than it is for us. But imagine how Joseph's mother must feel as she learns about what's happened with his son's future wife. We begin in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 18. I invite you to open up your Bible to Matthew, chapter 1, as we read, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit." In Joseph's and Mary's time, those who were preparing for Jewish marriage needed to complete three steps. The first step was what they called the engagement. Don't think of our engagement like we get, "Oh, I got engaged." That's a little later for our things. This is Joseph and Mary's time. The process was called engagement. And what the engagement is? It's a contract arranged by family members who determined whether the couple, then only small children, whether the couple would be suited for each other and a future marriage. The families arranged Joseph and Mary to be married. They set it up. You know what this means? God was at work in Jesus' birth when Mary and Joseph were small children. That's the first step, the family arranging the marriage. That's the engagement. But then comes the second step. The second step was the pledging or betrothal, is what they called it. We would consider probably today called getting engaged. But they had a strict pledging or betrothal. And this is the public confirmation of engagement, and it lasts for 1 year. So, for the next year, the couple would be known as belonging to one another. Mary and Joseph belong to one another. Just as that first step was completed, they now are in the second step, that 1 year betrothal period. But they do not have the rights of a married couple. So that's the second step. Then there's the third step. The third step is the actual marriage ceremony. That took place at the end of the betrothal year. So that's how it was done. That's how you got married, during Mary and Joseph's time. But now we have here, as you heard in the scripture today, Joseph is facing a crisis. See, it's up to Joseph to make the most important decision of his and Mary's life. What should he do? Verse 19 tells us what Joseph should do. Now you're thinking, wait a minute, what decision does he have to make? We see it from after what's happened. Think of it before then. As the scripture said, Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph at second stage. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant with child. There's the dilemma Joseph is facing. There's the crisis he's wondering what to do. It's up to him, not to Mary. Remember in the culture of the time. So verse 19 reads, because Joseph, her husband, that's what he's called during this betrothal period, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Joseph learns of Mary's pregnancy before he learns the cause. So what's your thinking? You see someone pregnant. Oh, wait a minute. During the betrothal period? You see, even if Mary talked to Joseph about the angel coming to visit her, what words do you hear after you've heard the word, you're laid off, you're fired, or the word cancer? Mm-hmm. And something like this has never happened before. It's like, what's going through your mind? What's going through Joseph's mind? For he has a decision to make. Joseph, being, as it said in verse 19, a righteous man, wanted to do the right thing. And he could easily be thinking, what does God say to do? So he consults the Old Testament. We call it the Old Testament. For them, it would be called their scriptures. The law for his people, being Jewish. And the righteous thing, the right thing to do, is for Joseph to cancel the marriage to Mary, no matter how much he still loves her. That would be what the law has written. For it is Joseph's religious duty to cancel the marriage contract, because Mary is apparently guilty of breaking God's law. We have it in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 23 through 24. It says, if a man happens to meet in a town a virgin pledged to be married, Mary is a virgin pledged to be married, and he sleeps with her, you shall take both of them to the gate of that town and stone them to death. The girl, because she was in a town and did not scream for help, and the man, because he violated another man's wife. What's Joseph to do? That's the law. Here, once again, he just knows Mary's pregnant. It appears she's broken God's law. And if you break a law, of course, you need to be punished, right? Well, Joseph wants to do the right thing. But he loves her. But what is right? That's the dilemma. That's the decision. And through a dream, which we have here in verses 20 and 21, Joseph learns what he is to do. But after he had considered this, notice it didn't come before he had the dilemma in his mind, before he was worrying about it, after he had considered divorcing Mary, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. God is coming to Joseph in the best way for Joseph. Just as I said last week, how God came to Mary in the best way for Mary, and God comes to you in the best way for you. It took an angel's visit from God to convince Joseph to accept Mary as his bride and to continue on in the betrothal period until they get married. We have to appreciate, we have to admire the courage and devotion of Joseph to stand up for what he believed in and where God was leading him. For as verse 24 reads, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Joseph stands here at the beginning of Matthew's gospel as a model for what the writer of Matthew hopes for all followers of Jesus Christ, both when he wrote this and for us today as Christians. What's he hope for? Well, Joseph's decision is to obey God's unexpected command to him instead of following that written law. Joseph is living the heart of God's law, what its intent was for life when it was put down, instead of following it to where the Jewish law has come to exactly the letter. Oh, she's pregnant, she needs to be stoned. He is living out a new and higher righteousness, the new and higher standard of God's kingdom, the reason Jesus came to be born. He's living that out. And this example, Joseph shows why he is the perfect father of Jesus. For Jesus Christ came to show us the standard of life in God's kingdom. Not what people sit here and say, oh, this is this, and this is this, and this is this. In God's kingdom. And that standard is not based on law, but based on love. Remember how Jesus says in John 13, verse 34, a new command I give you. He's living out what his dad did in accepting Mary. That new command from John chapter 13, 34, love one another. Yes, it's easy. It's easy in the midst of choices to try and take easy ways out. There's got to be anger involved in it as well, because how would you feel if you're Joseph and you learned that the one you're betrothed to in that second stage, or even today, is pregnant? You haven't learned yet it's the Holy Spirit that's done it. She's pregnant. There's got to be some anger. But Joseph shows us about love, God's love. You know, when you look at that, and anger and love, I'm reminded of a story by Dr. David Swope. The story comes that following a commencement address at Westmont College, he spoke with Mother Teresa. Here's how the story goes. When I lived in Washington, D.C., he writes, I was privileged to meet Mother Teresa. I asked her, don't you ever become angry at the causes of social justice that you see in India or at any of the places in which you work? Her response was, why should I expend energy and anger that I can expend in love? He writes, Mother Teresa didn't say she wasn't angry. She simply chose not to give in to her anger. She chose to direct the energy of anger into compassion and love. Isn't that what Joseph ended up doing? He's got to be upset, got to be questioning, has a dilemma. But Joseph, as we hear, see in our reading, is saying essentially, why spend so much energy and anger that I can expend it? Love. And God knew he would do that. Once again, what's the first step? Mary and Joseph were engaged to one another as small children. God at work. We don't know where God's at work in our life, but we need to be open. And when anger comes, we sit here and we get overwhelmed by that instead of looking, where's God leading us? In love. God wants you to expend your energy in love, not in anger. It doesn't say don't get angry. Jesus even at times got angry and acted in it, turning over tables in the temple, because an injustice was being done. Expend energy in love. That's what Joseph did. That's what Mother Teresa talks about. That's what Mary does. That's what we see throughout the New Testament. We are Christians. We are to follow the New Testament standard of love. Yes, we need laws, but oftentimes over generate those laws become firm, and many of them. But if Joseph had only followed the law, who are you angry at? Who have you been angry at this past week? Don't worry, I've had an opportunity to be angry this last week. Even today, get some anger. Not full-fledged anger, just, I'd say, ticked off. Who are you ticked off at? How have you been ticked off this week? How about this last month? How much energy did you expend versus the amount of energy you expended this past week in love? This coming week, God will give you opportunities to expend energy of anger and energy of love. Which will you be doing to those you're expending that energy on? It also takes up energy in you. Which would you prefer to do? Be open to where God is in the situation. And God, how God is using you in that situation. Last week we heard about how God was using Mary in the situation to bring a Savior to the world. Today we hear about Joseph and the choices he had to make, legitimate choices, for he was a righteous man. And he kept himself open to God. How is God leading you to expend more energy in love? Let us join together for some guided prayers. God of love, like Joseph, we each have decisions we need to make in our lives that not only affect us, but affect others. And we need your guidance. So I invite you to lift up a silent prayer to God for yourself and a decision you have to make. And I pray that you will be open to doing God's will in the midst of that decision. For just as Joseph was concerned about Mary, you have others you are concerned about. And just as God worked through Joseph for Mary, God works through you for them. So I invite you to pray for a loved one who is in need of God's guidance. And Lord, in addition to those we've lifted up silently, we pray for those who need your guidance in dealing with their own self, whether it be their physical self, with recuperation or an upcoming procedure, or if it may be a chronic condition that's going on in their life. Maybe it's a mental health issue that you are there and you've provided help for them in helping. But also we pray for those dealing with emotional support and for spiritual questions. For you are there. You're there to help us in our lives, just as you've been there to help others in this holiday season where, let's face it, our emotions get on edge and it's easy to go to anger, just as easy as love. Help us to choose love. For it's in that love we pray for those dealing with the death of a loved one, the death of someone in their life, because the love was there. And that love isn't just for how you've been with them, but how they have been with you. May those teachings continue and the blessings continue. But Lord, we also pray for those who are facing trials and tribulations. We pray for the residents of the Ida Apartments over across the street from us at 1901 Pierce who had a fire this past week. And we have set up a Red Cross emergency shelter here in this church. 38 residents who are still here, a lot of them. About 20 of them are still here spending the night being cared for by the Red Cross, by Woodbury County, by others. Agencies coming together in different ways to help. That's the love that's called for. For you tell us to love our neighbors as ourselves. So we pray for them and all who are going through trials and tribulations in their life, whether it be individual, families, communities, or in your world. But Lord, we also pray for those who need to make a decision, to make that choice looking at what your will is. For Joseph is an example of the love Jesus will teach his followers, and he is an example of the love that you want to teach us. And what a blessing it is to love and to be loved unconditionally. So I invite you to pray a prayer of thanks. Thanks for how God has shown you his unconditional love through some others. Yes, Lord, we may often make decisions or have dilemmas in our life. We focus on our choices. But let's face it, we have been one side or the other of other people's decisions, other people's dilemmas. And you have helped lead them. Yes, by having Christ as a part of our life, we learn the love of God. So I invite you to lift up a silent prayer asking for Jesus to come into your life, whether for the first time or once again, and to help you with your dilemmas. All these prayers we lift up in the name of our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray in saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.